It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jonathan Ford, Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, and your host here of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors. Before we get to those, get to the phone lines on CollegeSteel.com hotline and our friend Casey Bowman from GoMiddle.com.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, Episode 7, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
I'd like to welcome in Casey Bowman of GoMiddle.com. He's going to talk a little Conference USA football with us here in the first segment. Casey, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Conference USA football, however, is not.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there.
just to put it lightly, the conference overall is not very good at football. East Carolina's good, Marshall's pretty good, and then I think you got everybody else, and then FIU and Southern Miss.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, man. I mean, obviously, ECU and Marshall, you know, they're kind of top of the class, I think, hands down. And then you're really right. It's a crapshoot from there in terms of, you know, from 3 to 12, really. But, of course, you do have the bottom of the barrel there with FIU and Southern Miss. But one of those teams is going to claim that bottom spot this week.
You're exactly right, and I'm pretty sure that we've had it right all along for FIU to be on the bottom, especially since Southern Miss is at home and that nation's long losing streak will finally come to an end.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And honestly, they've been kind of going through the gauntlet this first few weeks of the season anyway. So I think this will be actually a kind of a true test for them to see where they stack up in the conference and things like that. But I agree. I think that losing streak's coming to an end.
You know, Middle Tennessee, the team that you cover, Casey, has really climbed the power rankings since the beginning of the season on BleedTechBlue.com. And just talk about Middle's play thus far through the season.
Well, I mean, it's been two stories here. You know, at the beginning of the year, everything looked to be kind of on sync. Heading into the season, it appeared as though the offense would kind of lead the unit, and that was going to win the games for them as we got down the stretch. And when the defense, there was a lot of question marks. They gave up a lot of yards last year. They gave up a lot of points last year, so it didn't look too good. But as the season's kind of progressed, it's kind of flipped here. You know, the offense has really been struggling the last couple weeks. Running the ball, passing the ball, really every facet of the game they're struggling. And the defense, on the other hand, is, they're still giving up yards and they're still giving up points, but, man, they're doing their best to keep the team in the games, with the turnovers and just timely, turnovers that have really helped them, from time to time here. And, just big plays that we weren't accustomed to seeing on that side of the ball out of them. But at this point, there's so many question marks around this team that I think – It's kind of hard to gauge where they're at, but they got a big test this weekend with ECU coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think that probably East Carolina rolls in that one, and I imagine that's what your pick's going to be. But you look at a couple of weeks ago, FAU, the Blue Raiders traveled to Florida Atlantic and it really escaped in, what was it? I think it was double overtime to beat the Owls. FAU's a team that's kind of surprised everybody, almost beat Rice in Houston this past weekend. What do you make of the Owls?
Obviously, they're kind of one of those teams, and from a power ranking perspective, we kind of keep them towards the bottom just because they haven't really gotten over that hump and won some games here. But honestly, I mean, they're a team that came from the Sun Belt with Middle, so personally, I've seen them year over year over the past decade, and I like what they're doing. Defensively, they're playing better. Obviously, this past week against Rice was much better performance out of their defense, and offensively, they're starting to find their groove here. Their quarterback, at the beginning of the year, I remember watching him against East Carolina, and I thought, man, he's a tough kid. He can run. He's hard to bring down, but he couldn't throw the ball. And all of a sudden, now he's looking like Dan Marino back there in the pocket. They torched middle secondary, and, they seem to be a team on the rise. How soon or how close they are to getting over that hump is yet to be determined. But they're a team definitely to watch out for.
And Casey, a second ago, you talked about the question marks on Middle's roster. And, you know, Louisiana Tech can definitely attest to question marks on its rosters, especially after a 1-4 start with several question marks going on. And you look at Tulane, there's question marks because you're like, is this team really for real? Rice, you expected them to be better than really they've shown they are. North Texas, a question mark of, is this team really as good as they showed against Georgia? UTSA, you're really this close. You're not in many years in FBS football, and you're playing pretty well. Tulsa, what in the world's going on with you? I mean, you talk about question marks. That middle of Conference USA, there's tons of questions.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You hit the nail on the head there with every one of those teams, and each team that you just rattled off, all of them could potentially, you know, challenge, you know, for the top spot in their respective divisions here. It's just, you know, at this point in the season, obviously, you know, 5 weeks in, there's just so many more question marks at this point than I think any of us thought there would be. I figured, you know, ECU and Marshall, you kind of knew what you had there, and as you mentioned, Tulsa, man, that's just been a supreme letdown so far this season. But, you know, your teams like North Texas and UTSA, you know, they're playing a lot better than I anticipated. You know, North Texas, you know, went to Georgia and you know, really hung with that Bulldog team for the better half of that game. Tulane, another team, right? You know, I didn't expect them to be winning these many games as they have been so far. So, you know, you're right, man. This middle of the pack, there's just so many question marks. And even with Tech, I mean, you're talking about a team that is just a couple possessions away from, you know, instead of being 1-4, you know, they could potentially be, you know, 3-2, 4-1, and right up there at the top of the rest of them. So it's just it's kind of weird the how the landscape of this conference is shaking out so far.
When you look at next year, of course, East Carolina leaves, and that's Marshall will be left, but I think Cato's a senior. He'll be out. The shakeup of the Eastern Division of Conference USA, I believe Western Kentucky will join on the east side. Old Dominion, will they begin conference play next year? I can't remember. And then, of course, Charlotte will come on. What do you expect to see from the Eastern side, since that is a side that Middle's on going forward?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it there. With ECU leaving, obviously, that's going to kind of create that void. And with Cato and Marshall graduating, it's really going to be, you know, open season on the Eastern division there. You know, Middle's going to lose their fair share of guys. You know, senior quarterback Logan Kilgore is going to be gone. They've got a couple of receivers and, you know, a couple guys on defense. So they're going to be rebuilding or reloading. You know, it's really just going to be wide open on that east side. It's going to be interesting. You know, Marshall, you know, how many pieces do they have left coming back? You know, Western Kentucky, you know, there's a team that could come in and honestly, they could compete right away. They're playing pretty good ball right now under Bobby Petrino, and it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, Middle fans are not going to like that if WKU can come in and compete. But, you know, honestly, I think you got to look at a team like that, a team like Middle and even Marshall. I mean, I think they'll all compete, but a lot of question marks till next year, man.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least if Bobby Petrino is not the coach of Western Kentucky next season. I always thought that he was going to be one and done at Western Kentucky, and he hasn't necessarily shown enough in most people's opinion to warrant another job, but his body of work at Arkansas is enough to get that next job, whether it's at Southern Cal or wherever it may be. A big time job's going to open, and they're going to be looking at him. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if they call his number and he's out of Western, and they're looking for another coach.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And, you know, I thought when he first came on, I thought maybe 2 years max. And, you know, it's a good situation for him right now just to kind of lay low. He's under the radar, but, you know, they're going to play some bigger teams. And, hey, if they win some of those games, you know, that's going to, you know, only help him in the ranks of college football. But you're right, man. He's going to get some calls this offseason. And if the right job opens up for him, he'll definitely be gone.
Casey, we really appreciate you joining us here for the first segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio this week and talking a little Conference USA football.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely, Casey. Casey Bowman, GoMiddle.com, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'll run through the power rankings of on BleedTechBlue.com that I put out this afternoon. East Carolina stays at the top spot with Marshall following. Middle Tennessee, Rice, Tulane, North Texas at number 6, UTSA, Tulsa, Louisiana Tech at number 9, UTEP, FAU, UAB, Southern Miss, and FIU. Louisiana Tech somehow, ladies and gentlemen, didn't go down in the rankings after I wouldn't even call it a game. What happened in the Cotton Bowl was not a football game. It was abysmal. And they somehow stayed number 9 in the power rankings this week. Let's take the first break. On the other side of the break, we'll begin talking about that Army destruction that happened in the Cotton Bowl last Saturday in a rainy mess. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back right after this.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, and we'll get into this Army talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Season 6 brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Bottom line is Army ran up and down the field.
Yes, they did.
And seemingly, Tech didn't make any changes until late in the fourth quarter to stop that. And why it took late into the fourth quarter to make any adjustments on defense, I'm at a loss for words.
With 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Lloyd Grogan stops Terry Baggett coming around the edge on consecutive plays for the only two yardage rushes.
Lost yardage, yes, but Terrell Pinson played the pitch as well as he could have earlier in the game, but it was really three times that they played the pitch well the entire game.
Yeah.
And out of 414 rushing yards, for them to play the pitch well three times.
Out of 77 attempts.
Out of 77 attempts.
Oh, gosh.
They were 8 for 15 on third down and 2 for 2 on fourth down. So that's, let's just call it 10 for 15.
Yeah. They weren't scared of going for it on fourth down at all because they were facing fourth and one or less. And,
yep.
You know, they Santiago kept it both times. And took it right up the middle and got it, and that's all they needed.
They had the ball 39 minutes and 57 seconds to Tech's 20 minutes and 3 seconds.
And that's the biggest story, the time of possession. We knew if Army was able to keep the ball for any length of time, especially because of the triple option and the rushing attack they've got, that they would really limit Tech's offensive touches, and if the offense couldn't get something going quickly, had an opportunity to run away with it quickly.
The story for Tech on offense is they have not been able to capitalize on drives this season, and it was no different against Army. They drive down the field, get into the red zone, and stall.
Yeah.
When you have 377 total yards of offense and you put up 16 points, that's not nearly enough. The productivity isn't there. The coaching staff knows it. The team knows it. The question is, what will they do to fix the productivity on offense? We were talking about this before this segment, Jared. Louisiana Tech had its safeties deep, too deep last week against Army, and I'm not. This is. Holtz's words, not mine. He said that they wanted to take the passing game away from Army.
And, you know, when I heard that, I looked up the statistics because one of the things that he said was that Army scores touchdowns passing the ball, and they didn't want to allow them to throw it over the top and give up a big play and give up a touchdown. So I looked it up. And going into the game against Louisiana Tech, Army had 2 passing touchdowns, 13 rushing touchdowns.
I don't know, man.
That's not a threat.
Especially when you have talented corners like Adarius Barnes and Adarius
LeVander Liggins.
LeVander Liggins and Adarius Barnes. I mean, they Adarius has had some rough games, but he doesn't even resemble the player he looked like against NC State.
No, I agree. He's really improved. He's matured a lot, and it's just because of experience.
And y'all know that I am not typically the optimist of this show. When Jason was my cohort here on the show, I was the one that really was the negative one, and Jason was the eternal optimist. I still think that this season can be salvaged. Call me crazy. When you're sitting 1-4 after playing one conference game, this season's not for loss.
No, not yet. We're going into conference play this week, facing UTEP. And, you know, if they could string together a few wins, bring them back to 500, you could still win six games.
There's no doubt they can get to bowl eligibility.
Oh, well, yeah, I agree. It's just...
I asked IK and Impali in the press conference yesterday if the UTEP game was a must-win for the team, and he responded as a yes.
I agree. I think it is. I think it's a must-win game. Starting out 1-5 and two conference losses right there at the beginning. You have to. You have to win this game, especially because, once again, I know earlier I looked when I was doing my Week 6 preview of Conference USA football, and it was a UTEP pick'em. But I checked again later on, actually just a few minutes before we came onto the air, and Louisiana Tech was favored by 1.5
on one line. I'm seeing one. I'm seeing pick'ems.
Yeah, yeah. But for them, the week after the Army game, for them to be a pick'em or favored in the UTEP shows you how bad UTEP must be, or how bad they expect them to be.
This conference is bad.
Division of this conference is really bad.
That is the primary reason I led today's show talking Conference USA football with somebody that's not a Louisiana Tech person.
Yeah.
Bring somebody from the east side that even admits at how bad the conference is, and it brings things into perspective. Let's go to the collegesteel.com hotline with Dog PT. How's it going, my friend?
All going well.
What's on your mind?
Well, my question is, it seems like if you look over the past five games, we lack identity. It seems like we let our opponents dictate our identity instead of saying, this is who we are, this is what we're going to do good, and let's do it. It seems like every game we come with a different philosophy on what type of play calling we're going to have, what type of personnel packages we're going to use. It's dictated by some type of film session or something somewhere instead of saying, look, this is what we do well. Let's do it, and let's make them adapt to us instead of us always adapting to them. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's what it felt like, is that, you know, obviously Army's a running team, so they probably face nothing but running during the week, during preparations, and yet we come out and we try to run the ball right up their throats, and instead of doing what we did well last week against Kansas, which was the shorter passing game opening up to the longer passing game.
You know, you bring up a good point, and that's a valid point. My question about the identity would be, do you think that maybe Kenneth Dixon being out for a week, basically a week and a half, had something to do with them being slow in developing an offensive identity? And then, two, defensively, with Army being running that old style offense of the triple option, where so few people run it, do you think that played into this past week having a different identity?
I don't know. I mean, I think teams know that we have Dixon. They know how good he is. And they're going to say, well, we're going to stop Kenneth Dixon and make him beat us other ways. And we have failed to recognize that. I mean, we have a young offensive line. We don't have the stars we had last year at offensive line that were opening up these huge holes, and we don't have the passing game that we had last year to open up the holes. And so it's been tougher this year. And so I think they're just kind of pinning their ears back and saying, look, we're going to go get Dixon, we're going to go get the quarterback, and we're going to see what else they can do.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that's what's happening. And you know, given their ability, Louisiana Tech's ability to make plays downfield against Army, gives you some reason for hope offensively, because now towards the end of the game they weren't blocking well, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But before then, they were able to make plays downfield, and that's going to open up that running game so that people can't tee off on the quarterback.
That's a good point. I mean, I thought Higgins actually looked the best he's looked so far in the Army game. I was really pleased with how, when he got under pressure several times, he ran out of the pocket, got the ball away, off into the sidelines, things like that, that showed some maturity that he has not shown the first two games.
I think the maturation, I really, that word's almost too, is used too much in sports media, but I'll use it. The maturation of Ryan Higgins is unbelievable in such a short time. He's not the same player we saw in fall camp. For him to play as well as he has in the games is absolutely incredible.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, PT. You know, he brings up some really good points about the identity of the offense and identity of the defense, but I truly believe that a lot of the reason offensively that there hasn't been much of an identity was the injury to Kenneth Dixon.
Well, Dixon missing the week like he did and then coming back and not looking very good right at first, it changes things, because one of the things that we thought that we could count on seeing was a lot of Kenneth Dixon and a lot of Tevin King because of the inexperience at quarterback. And then when Kenneth goes down like he did, and you've still got two inexperienced quarterbacks, I mean, the running game is the quarterback's best friend. And when you don't have that, it's almost, you can't ask a quarterback to do much more than Ryan has done in the Kansas game or the Army game behind the offensive line that he's got. And I mean, you know.
And the offensive line, I thought, played well for the most part against Army. Late in the game, the left guard, Trey Carter, he was getting blown up, and that's where the pressure was coming, was up the middle. But I would give them a B for the game.
I could see that. I could see a B. They weren't perfect, but they didn't give up.
He didn't get a whole lot of pressure until late in the game, and by that point, they had lost
it was
momentum. There was nothing.
It was effectively over.
Yeah. So you give the offensive line a B, and then against Kansas, I give them an A.
Yeah, and the offensive line against Kansas played very well, especially considering that Higgins threw the ball 55 times behind that offensive line. I thought it was really good.
And then Kenneth Dixon, he really did have a good game against Army, but whenever you're playing from behind,
right,
you can't run the ball much.
Yeah, you have to throw the ball.
16 carries for 71 yards, a 4.4 yard a carry average, one touchdown, and a long of 20.
Yeah. And
they need to figure out ways to get Tevin King the ball more.
Right.
And Holtz recognized that. They put him back at kick returner this week, but since the NCAA and their infinite wisdom has changed special teams so much into kickoffs, where basically everything's a touchback, and then whenever you give them a touchback, it's at the 25. That's not football, ladies and gentlemen. We're not even eating it. I would imagine that Pee Wee football doesn't even do that on a touchback.
Soapbox.
Yes, that was a soapbox.
I'd like to see Tevin King at punt return. I would like to see Tevin King return more punts. I mean, I know that DJ doesn't.
I don't think he's as sure-handed as the other guys and whatever. And punt returning is such a hard thing to do.
Well, if you're talking about getting him more involved in the offense, I mean,
I hear you. You got to give him.
And he didn't register
give him more
a carry
touches
against Army. Not one carry.
And the I've been preaching it really since the Tulane game. The shovel pass that worked against Lamar, we haven't seen it since.
Haven't seen it since. Wow. I didn't realize that Tevin King not only didn't register a carry, he also didn't register a reception.
I think they targeted him. I don't think he made a catch.
Right.
So they were looking for him. He needs to work on his hands. But you've got to figure out ways to get him moving downhill, because he honestly is a downhill runner, although people don't want to admit that.
Well, they don't want to believe. They don't want to put him in that situation. You know, I mean,
he's 5'6". Exactly. Let's call a spade a spade. But you know who else is 5'6"? Darren Sproles.
There you go. Boy, he went off last night, didn't he?
Darren Sproles is 5'6". Now, he's a lot thicker.
Right, he's a lot thicker than
Tevin King. But lay off of the height deal. I mean, Drew Brees is 5'11". That team does okay with short guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a decent offensive line, although they need offensive line help as well. The Saints do, but that's another soapbox and another story for another show, not even for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. But let's take that break. On the other side of the break, we will continue the Army talk and intro the UTEP game happening Saturday in the Sun Bowl in El Paso. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll continue this Army talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Also, you can give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
John, a.k.a. Joe Dirt, he used the words, the defense for Louisiana Tech is still credible during the break. And I couldn't agree with him more. Tech tried to prepare for the option in 1 week. It's not easy.
No, it's not. I wouldn't say that it's impossible, but it's not going to happen.
You're not going to be perfect in a week against the option.
No, I agree.
I think this defense is still the strength of the team, and given that fact, they're going to give everything. Like I've been saying for weeks, they're going to keep Tech in games that they may not should be still in. If the offense can get productive in the red zone and not have to kick field goals and score six instead of three.
Well, sometimes three. Sometimes don't get anything.
True. Don't turn the ball over in the red zone. Was there four turnovers in the red zone this season right now?
Yeah. Which one of them, really, it is four, but the one of them with Ryan Higgins going out of bounds like that, boy, it was just...
It was just bad.
It was really bad luck.
I wouldn't even call it bad luck. He's got to protect the football. The one that Kenneth fumble against Kansas was the bad luck, because he's a split inch, even though it's not a word, but a fraction of an inch from being down. That's the one that's bad luck. Ryan Higgins has got to protect the football. That's football 101. But I say all that to say this. Once this team is more effective in the red zone and is not turning the ball over in the red zone and are getting points to show for their appearance in the red zone, you look at the rest of the schedule for Louisiana Tech, there's not a world beater left on the schedule. You have UTEP this week, Louisiana Tech, and in El Paso. Even Vegas thinks it's a pick 'em. So it's a winnable game for Tech. North Texas is playing well. That might be the hardest game left on the schedule, them and UTSA. North Texas is homecoming. Tech plays very well at home. They always have. Minus you take Tulane out of the equation.
Yeah. And Lamar.
Back in history, Tech normally plays well at home. This year has not been quite that way, but they normally do. And that's homecoming for Louisiana Tech, North Texas is. That's a winnable game. Florida International will still not have won a game by that point.
No.
Southern Miss, November 9th, probably will be one in whatever. That'll be the only game that they've won is Florida International. Rice on the road. Rice's offense is probably worse than Tech's.
They threw for 67 yards against FAU.
67 total yards.
Yeah. That's bad. It's bad. I really expected this weekend's matchup between Rice and Tulsa, I expected it to have Conference USA championship game implications, because I really expected Rice and Tulsa to be the
top honestly,
two.
It probably does.
Well, it still could.
Because the West is wide open.
Oh, yeah. It's so open. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if Tulane won the West.
Well, they've got the best record.
Which I did expect Tulane to win seven games. Point that out.
I didn't say
they were going to beat Tech, but I did say they would win seven games.
But you look at after the Rice game, Tech will host Tulsa in November and then go on the road to San Antonio to play UTSA. Every game left on the schedule is winnable. They win them all. They're 8-4. Is that possible? Yes. Is it likely? No. I think 6-6 is what they end up being.
Yeah, and honestly, with the start that they've had,
I would be happy with six and six.
Yeah, I would be completely happy with 6-6. I didn't expect them to get 6-6 at the beginning of the year, but regardless, I expect
there were more question marks on this football team than I think anybody realized.
Yeah, no, I agree. Once we actually started seeing them play football, not practice, but football. We realize just how many question marks there were. You know, at the beginning of the year, it was unknowns. That was the word. It was unknowns. Everything is an unknown. Well, they weren't kidding. That was the absolute truth. There's still a lot of unknowns with this football team.
Which is why all these games are winnable. If the offense shows up, and I feel like a broken record player, and people are probably tired of me just saying it, but I'm going to say it again. If the offense shows up and the defense shows up for the same game and plays the best of their ability, there's not a team left on a roster that they're not as talented, if not more talented than.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back and look, Tulane, neither the offense or the defense showed up. Kansas, defense shows up, offense didn't show up. Army, offense showed up, defense didn't show up.
NC State, the defense showed up for the first half, the offense never showed up.
Right. And so maybe this is the week where they both of them show up.
You're beginning to see the light.
No, I'm still taking UTEP. this is the week that they both show up. Oh, I understand completely. If the defense before this game, the defense was giving up 22 points per game. If the defense holds the rest of these opponents to 21 a game or 22 a game, three touchdowns a game, they should win every one of these games. UTEP's defense is terrible. North Texas defense is not good. FIU is not good at any aspect of football.
He found his thesaurus, ladies and gentlemen.
Southern Miss will have their only win against FIU this week. That will be the only win they have of the year. Rice, neither their offense or their defense has played very well. Tulsa, Trey Watts leading the conference in all-purpose yards.
Is an anomaly. They could be like Tech and turn it on and be just fine.
Yeah, they could. And Blankenship is a good coach. I don't know. I don't know the full story there.
I will say they've got a tough schedule to end with. They're playing Rice, of course, this week. Then UTEP on the road. Then Tulane on the road. UTSA at home. Then a brutal two-week stretch at East Carolina, and Marshall comes to Tulsa.
Yeah, see, ECU and Marshall are definitely the class of the conference, and I would even go so far as to say that ECU is head and shoulders ahead of Marshall.
Did you see what they did to North Carolina Saturday?
And I picked North Carolina to win that game, and you agreed, and they got destroyed.
They got thunder punched.
Yes, ECU beat the
Is that
Sox
even a term? Did I just make something up?
Off of North Carolina.
Thunder punched.
I feel like that's like a...
Sounds like a WWE thing.
Yeah, some kind of like professional wrestling.
And I have never, ever...
Special move.
...watched a single event of world...
the World Wrestling Entertainment.
Erroneous!
I promise. I have never watched it.
Wow.
My father made fun of it. If we had it on for a split second, he continued to make fun of it until it was over.
I bet Joe Dirt watched a lot of WWE.
Oh, there is no doubt in my mind that man watched a lot of WWE.
Absolutely.
He probably still does.
He watched WWF.
That is correct.
Do you watch Raw every Monday?
No, I usually watch football.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
During the summer, I catch back up.
He DVRs it. He DVRs it and watches the old ones.
Oh, goodness. Let's take this break. On this other side of the break, we're going to have MinorIllustrated.com publisher Rigo Chaparro joining us to talk a little UTEP football. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Steelers are 0-4. The city scarf.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7, where Major League Baseball is trying to butt in. We got no time for you, baseball. We got no time for you. I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to Rigo Chaparro of MinorIllustrated.com.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Rigo, how you doing, my man?
Hey, what's up? I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing good. First off, welcome to the Rivals.com network. I know you guys have not been around a real long time, and I haven't spoken to you since y'all joined the network, but welcome.
That's appreciated. Yeah, I actually just took over as publisher this year.
Well,
just getting to know all the teams right now.
Well, good deal. Let's just talk about some UTEP football. What do the Miners like to do on offense when they're having the most success?
Well, right now it looks like we're a running team. We have a really good quarterback in Jamil Showers, which is a Texas A&M transfer, but we've been doing it mostly on the ground. We're averaging 201 yards on the ground with two freshmen. One of them is a local product of El Paso. He's averaging 5.2 yards per carry. And his name's Aaron Jones, and the other one is LaFasa. He's averaging 5.3 yards per carry. So we're moving the ball on the ground right now. And we have a running quarterback that can also throw the ball. He's very accurate. He's a very smart kid, but, you know, we're just taking what the defense gives us right now.
Is the UTEP offensive line a veteran group, or have they been together a long time, or is it a bunch of new guys? They're just gelling really early.
Well, actually, they're juniors. Most of them are sophomores and juniors. So protecting the quarterback's not really an issue right now. The offense is moving the ball well, and they're averaging about 33 points a game. So the line protects the quarterback real well, and that's one of the reasons why it opens up the running game.
And when you look at a UTSA game, probably one that the Miners wish they could have back, but what was UTSA able to do to keep the Miner offense in check?
You know, UTSA has a very good quarterback in Sosa, and he was able to run the ball, and that's one of the things that they had been practicing for, just trying to contain the quarterback. And, you know, it kind of left the wide receivers open at times, and that's one of the things that kind of beat them in that game. Another thing is they didn't score that many points. You know, they had been scoring a lot of points, and we just couldn't get it done.
What were the Roadrunners doing that were keeping them in check defensively?
Well, the fact that quarterback is a dual threat, he can throw and he can run the ball. So they would pretty much attack the weakness. If they committed to a box, then they would just throw the ball downfield. And if they kind of backed up a little bit, then the quarterback would just take off and pick up easy first down.
And when you look defensively, of course, UTEP gave up 59 points last week, 32 points against UTSA, 21 the week before, then 42 the week before that. They've given up a few points on defense. What has been their Achilles heel thus far?
Well, they can't get to a quarterback. That's one of the things. So teams are running the ball at will right now, and that's one of the things that looks like coach is trying to stress, is trying to play more physical football. You know, you can average 33 points on offense, but if you're giving up almost 40 a game, it's very hard to win games that way.
That's a pretty easy math problem, isn't it?
Yeah, so that means this coming week, I was looking at the matchup, and it looks like, I mean, Louisiana Tech, who hasn't scored many points, and, you know, coming up against a defense that, you know, pretty much everybody's scoring at them as well, I think it's going to be an interesting game to see what it is.
When you look at something that Louisiana Tech does well is running the football with their running back Kenneth Dixon, who of course was a freshman All-American last season. How well has UTEP done stopping the run whenever they do have a quarterback that can complete a pass if they can't sell out against the run?
Actually, that's pretty much the main problem, is they can't stop the run. So even though UTEP does control time of possession pretty good in the last couple of games, they just can't stop the run.
When you look at a guy like Kenneth Dixon, who's 5'10", 220, and he's a physical runner, he's not necessarily a guy that's going to beat you to the edge, although he can. Is that something that, because of his physical nature, could be even a bigger question, a bigger problem for the Miners?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to load up the box, and they're probably going to have to change their scheme a little bit, because, you know, if Luciante is going to run the football and they have power running, like you say, then that's definitely going to, it's going to prevent the Miners from playing their game, and you're going to probably have to load up the box to try to prevent that from happening again.
How is the Miners secondary? Do they play the pass pretty well? What do they like to do in the secondary?
Well, we haven't been able to see that much of the secondary since, you know, teams have been sticking to a run because they've been running the ball so well against them. They just stick to what works. So, you know, they haven't been really tested. But, you know, I think one of the key things is getting to a quarterback, and they haven't been able to do that. So, you know, there's not enough time to see what they can really do.
What is, if you were to predict the game, what are some matchups that you think will be the key for victory for the Miners?
I think it's going to come down to the two weaknesses matching up: the UTEP defense, which hasn't been doing very well, against the Louisiana Tech offense that's been struggling to put points on the board. So I think I see a game maybe in the 20s, 24-21, 27-21, and whoever scores the most points is going to win. You know, it's just this defense is going to put up those 27, 24 points.
Well, Rigo, we really appreciate you joining us, and we'll be in touch, especially when basketball season gets here, because the Bulldogs and the Miners will go head-to-head on the hardwood later in the year.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Rigo.
All right, thanks.
Rigo Shaparo, MinerIllustrated.com, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Good stuff from Rigo.
Jay Ford, I'm itching. I got to say something.
It's say away.
UTEP has only gotten 2 sacks all season. 2. That's what this offensive line needs. They need a defensive line that can't get to the quarterback.
Did you look at how many yards Colorado State had against them on the ground?
Oh, well, look.
You got to ask that question. Have you?
Oh, yeah, I did. 250.
250.
Week before that, they gave up 181. Week one, in overtime, lost to
New Mexico. The Lobos.
They gave up 395. So their average.
They're getting better.
Yeah. They're giving up an average of 231 rushing yards per game.
And for those keeping score at home, Colorado State averaged 7.4 yards a carry last week.
Man, goodness.
34
gracious.
Rushes for 250 yards. They threw the ball for, 341 yards.
Yeah. And Colorado State's offense is not good. It's
pretty good. They had put up 591 yards of offense.
It's not great.
It is Jim McElwain, the former offensive coordinator for Alabama.
Right. And and Colorado State actually played Alabama pretty well the other day.
McElwain can coach the game of football. He's pretty good.
UTEP is giving up 38.5 points per game. Louisiana Tech is scoring 16 a game. So
something's got to give.
Yeah. The UTEP's giving up more points than they're scoring. So that's a plus. Now, one thing about UTEP is that they do like to run the ball. Like Rigo stated, they are averaging 201 yards per game rushing. And Jamel Showers has thrown 8 touchdowns to 1 pick.
I thought it was 7-0. Is it 8-1?
Well, that's what it says 7-0 here, but then when you actually go to the UTEP page, it says 8-1.
He threw 5 Jamel Showers, or Jameel, I'm not sure which one it is. He threw for 5 touchdowns against Colorado State.
Yeah. And he's only got 8 on the year, so that's 3 in 3 other games combined. He's also been sacked 8 times this season. So
I'm telling you, I like this matchup.
UTEP has a lot of the same question marks that Louisiana Tech does. UTEP's got a new coach, new quarterback, new system.
You know, the Bayou Sports Line guys were making light of how boring Coogler is. And you and I can attest to it.
Yeah, he was
the worst interview of Conference USA Media Day.
Munkin, Coogler.
I like Munkin. I like Munkin. Munkin's straightforward. He tells you like he sees it. Coogler, you don't have any idea what he's thinking.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Let's take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll get into more UTEP talk, and then, of course, in a final segment at 7:15, we'll begin our predictions, where it looks like Jared might be trying to make up a game this week. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared, some sponsors.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@BleedTechBlue.com.
Well, Tech fans, when we take a look at our friends MasseyRatings.com, they have Louisiana Tech winning 3 more games.
Let me guess.
Or whenever you look at the percentage of chance, they actually only have 51% chance of beating Florida International on the road.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. 51. Wow. Okay, anyway. Well, okay, that's one right there, Florida International. And then my other two guesses would be Southern Miss and UTEP. And I know it's right because we talked about it.
Yep. That's right. I would give Tech about a 57% chance, maybe a 60% chance to beat UTEP. I would agree with that percentage chance. I can't see that Florida International, if Tech plays like they did against Kansas, against Florida International, the game's not close. And that's a road game. You just got to stay focused.
Against Florida International? Oh, yeah. 51%. That's right.
You got to think that that's a 70% chance of victory, in my opinion.
I mean, FIU is really bad. They
lost to Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, they're really bad. I think Tech still wins that game, and I think that it's a lot worse than 51%. And by then, Medlock, I don't know if Medlock will be playing or not. There was talk about him not playing this week against Southern Miss.
Why is he so bad?
That and because he also has an injury.
Oh. He's terrible.
He's bad.
To use your word.
He's bad. He's abysmal.
Abysmal. North Texas, they have a pretty low percent chance, 24% chance of Tech beating them. Rice, 12%. Tulsa, 37%. UTSA, 30%.
Really? They think that the Rice game is that?
They think it's that low. I don't see it.
Well, maybe that'll change in between here and Rice, because Rice has not looked that good to me. Now, am I the expert that Massey is? No.
It's a computer.
Right. Am I? Yeah, no, I'm not. So
it's crunching numbers, and honestly, it wasn't even that close last year. Now Tech won a lot of games, but whenever you look at those the scores, they never were real close.
No,
it's just fun to look at. It's fodder.
Yeah.
How about that? That's a good word.
Fodder. Yeah, I can see that. Fodder.
The probably the keys to the game, in my opinion, for this game, we've never done this, and I think that's something we're going to do going forward. In this segment, we're going to talk about the keys to the game.
We should get the Chevy Land keys to the game. We should get that.
There you go. I would say starting out fast. Tech needs to start fast. Their opening drive, whether they receive the kick or they get it second, they need to take that opening drive and score.
Yeah, I think that the way they started out the Army game, you know, they
set the tone for the entire game.
Tevin King has a great kickoff return, brings him out to the 40, and then what happens? They run the ball three consecutive times, punt, and then get the ball back and run after giving up a score and run back and run twice again. The first five calls were run plays.
I wouldn't mind that against UTEP because of how poorly they are against the run.
But if it's not working,
go to something
go away
else.
From it.
Yeah,
like the short passing game that they showed at Kansas with DJ, especially getting DJ Banks involved. DJ Banks went from 13 catches to, you know, not even a factor.
You know, somebody that, against Army, that I really thought that he played well and he showed what he can do is Eddie Johnson. He's huge.
He's a really big man. He is a big man. And I thought that I was just really glad to see Eddie get a catch. I was glad to see that he was finally being able to get involved.
And if for anybody that knows me well, I'm a diehard Saints fan. Eddie Johnson reminds me, he's not 6'6".
No.
Reminds me of Jimmy Graham.
I mean, he's just so big and so athletic for his size. I hate it that the ankle injury slowed him down at the beginning of the season and he's missed so much time, but I'm glad that he's back in what could be a really pivotal point of the season.
What's the key to the game, you would say? We already said starting fast.
For me, it's got to be protecting the football. Even, you know, I know –
winning the turnover battle.
Exactly. Against Army, we didn't force any turnovers, which – you know, Army doesn't fumble the ball and they don't throw the ball, so there's no interceptions. But we fumbled the ball once, or Louisiana Tech fumbled the ball once, and then Louisiana Tech also threw the one pick at the end of the game that really doesn't count. I mean, it counts, but it doesn't count. And but against Kansas, going back to the Kansas game, turnovers were the deciding factor. And so I feel like with the struggle that UTEP has, first of all, getting to the quarterback to put pressure on Higgins, I feel like this is going to be the best chance for him to be able to throw the ball down the field. If they can make plays and hold on to the ball down the field, you have to like the Tech's chances of scoring some points this week.
You know, one of the starters for UTEP on the defensive line is Adam Ayala. We saw Adam at Conference USA Media Day, and he's a former Louisiana Tech recruit. It's kind of surprising to me that he hasn't been able to make a difference. He's a good-looking kid. He's probably getting double-teamed because he's probably the best defensive lineman for UTEP.
Right, he's probably the only one that's getting or has an opportunity to get to the quarterback. He does have one tackle for a loss on the season, which is actually tied for second.
Second on their team. One
tied for second on their team. He's got one tackle for a loss for a loss of 2 yards. And he's hit the quarterback one time. No sacks.
He's 6'5", 275. He's a large man.
That he is. Number 92. If anybody wants to watch out for him.
He really can play. And I was disappointed that Tech wasn't able to close a deal on him during the recruiting process. Now, when you look at the depth that Tech has on D-line right now, would have he seen the field? A D-tackle at 6'5", 275, he would have been the skinniest.
Yeah.
He would have been the lightest D-tackle Tech has at 275. Somebody who I thought against the run played well Saturday against Army was Jelly. Justin Ellis did play pretty well. Pishon got beat badly on a play, but he really settled down as the game went along and stayed at home. I just don't think that five-man front was the way to go. And, of course, hindsight's 20/20.
Right.
But you can't go back in time. And one thing Louisiana Tech needs to make sure they do is never schedule a service academy again.
Yeah.
And I mean that. I mean, I don't mean that just to make fun of service academies.
No.
But Tech has struggled against the triple option in three coaching staffs.
Yes.
They've never been able to do well. Quit scheduling them.
I agree.
schedule the MAC. They're not going to run the triple option.
You can't prepare for the triple option that you're going to see one time. You're going to see it one time all year. So you can't spend really any time getting ready for it except for the game week. And 1 week is not enough time to adequately prepare to stop the triple option.
People have always – I say this to people when they say, well, what's your favorite option? Offense. And I honestly say if I was a head coach in college football, I'd run the triple option. Because once you're running it well
– oh, it's like an oil machine.
It's a fine oil machine. And if you get shut down, which is rare, you're not going to do well. But it's not – you're not going to get shut down very often.
Right.
You just got to – if somebody beats you at it, hats off to you. Thank you.
There you go.
We'll take our loss and we'll move on. But if there's – it's unbelievable. And they ran it to perfection Saturday.
You pointed out that your key to the game for Louisiana Tech would be starting fast.
I like where you're going because I'm looking at your computer screen.
So far this year, opponents have outscored UTEP 42-31 in the first quarter and 46-28 in the second quarter. They've also outscored them 43-35 in the fourth quarter. The only quarter that UTEP scores more points than their opponents is the third quarter. And that's a total of 154 points to 132 opponents are outscoring UTEP. UTEP is not starting fast, and they're allowing their opponents to do so.
Goodness knows Louisiana Tech is starting slow.
Right. Something I'll have to give.
We're going to have to rename this show. Something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
There's your buffer music for next segment. That's a good song. Something's got to give.
Also, one more thing I want to point out just right fast. Looking over the statistics for UTEP's defense, through the course of this season, they are giving up a whopping 8 yards per play. And that's 6.4 per rush, 10.8 per pass. Overall, 8 yards a play. That's almost a first down a play. You got to like those chances.
If Tech can slow down UTEP's offense, which is obviously their strength, defense is certainly not their strength.
Right.
If Tech can keep this team under 30 points, Tech wins.
I'm just not ready to say that Tech can score 30 points in a game. Do you realize that's twice as many points as they average? Now, yeah. Against this defense, right.
This defense is awful.
Oh, man. Maybe 24.
You think Tech can score 24?
I think it's easier to score 3 in a field goal than it is to score 4 in a field goal.
Well, there's no doubt about that. You're breaking new ground now, Copernicus.
No. Well, no. Hear me out. And I know you're right. Okay, but what I meant when I said that was that you can hopefully you won't have to rely on getting a touchdown from somewhere besides the offense. I think the offense is capable of scoring 3. And you don't have to rely – if you can hold them to less than 24, you don't have to rely on getting a touchdown from somewhere else because I just don't know if this offense can score 4 touchdowns.
I'm with you. I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. I really think that they can win this game. And like IK said in the press conference yesterday, it's a must win.
It's a must win. I've taken Tech every week except for NC State.
You're skeptical, and you have every right to be skeptical. I don't fault anybody for being skeptical after what they've seen the first 5 weeks.
I just don't understand how you can – I mean, just the turnaround from the Tulane to Kansas game was just unbelievable. And then the performance that we saw against Army was unbelievable. But like you said, and I agree, it's triple option.
Let's take the break. On the other side of the break, Rafe calling for his weekly segment. But also, we're going to give our predictions, myself, Joe Dirt, and Jared, of which I have a 2-game lead over both of them. Can one of them get a game back today?
With an asterisk.
This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Just follow Reckon.
this, get the story straight. And me and Uncle Tom were fishing, it was getting pretty late. Out on a surface, near above the ocean, where the sea ain't got no bottom, so you take you down a hill.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to the CollegeSteel.com hotline with Rafe.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Rafe, how's it going, my friend?
Oh, it's fine, man. I'm doing all right. I'm just started rewatching this game, although I didn't even catch the entire game, even being in Dallas the first time. But having looked at it a little bit again, it seems like you're not going to beat that attack with your down lineman lined up at the line of scrimmage.
Nope.
You're going to have to utilize some speed at linebacker and safety so that they can have the vision and the speed to get to where the ball is, you know. And we were big physical defensive front, but all it takes is a second, you know, and it's hard to see and it's hard to figure out where they're going whenever you're clogged up in the middle like that. So, they beat our line, but I think they beat our scheme more than our line to me.
You know, somebody asked me a question on Twitter, Rafe, and I'll pose it to you. What percentage would you say is inexperience or coaching thus far of Tech's problems?
I don't know.
That was my answer as well.
Because I mean, I looked at our team this year, and I like our personnel. You know, I like the attitude of our team. But how many times have we gotten behind the defense as a receiver? I'm talking about our player runs behind them, and not just by a half step to where the ball has to be perfectly placed, but we're, you know, a couple steps behind them to where we're outrunning them. And I really hadn't seen that from that type of explosive.
I would say it's zero.
It is zero. I mean, there's been some good plays, but most of it has come in front of the defense and then maybe making a move and getting past them, but we're not getting behind anybody. And I think teams are realizing that more and more and more. And so we can be guarded one-on-one and we can win some of the battles, but there's nobody that at this point has stood out enough to demand a double team from the receiver position. And, I like what we've done defensively up until that game. That game was, to me, a coaching error, the way that it was. And really, I'm not saying the approach was wrong, but once you see what's happening and
you
realize that we can't stop them, you have to change what you're doing, right?
I agree.
And so that I would lay that at the feet of the coaches. And, I mean, that's where the blame belongs. But there is some void in our personnel as far as having a lot of explosiveness at the skill position, and especially receiver. And we've got some good, spunky guys, but there's not that big-time receiver on our team.
No, there's not. And I actually I posed the question to Holtz Monday about stretching the field more and really got to give Sterling Griffin some more opportunities on the outside to make some plays downfield and also get Eddie Johnson involved downfield. There's not going to be anybody that can – there's not a corner in this conference that can defend Eddie Johnson on the perimeter at 6'3", 230.
Yeah, because Sterling, he may be a great athlete, but he has trouble getting off of it. Whenever they check him at the line, he has a little difficulty trying to get off of the defender and get himself to where he can really open up. Or Eddie just seems big enough to knock the guy off of him and maybe do something. But, you know, it's we're at our second conference game. You know, if we can't win this – if we can't beat UTEP, then, I mean, Well, it's just going to be interesting to see how the season plays out. But, I think that if we can't beat them, then it has to be attributed to coaching, because I think we have more talent than they did.
Well, what's your prediction as far as a score, Rafe?
I think we beat them 28-17, something like that. And I would be shocked if they beat us, but, I've been wrong a couple times this year.
Hey, you and I both, pal. You and I both. But I agree with you, and I think that Tech will win, and I think they'll win by a couple of possessions. But I said that last week, and, man, was I wrong.
Yeah, I was wrong, too.
I said the defense was only going to give up 7 points.
Whoops!
I was wrong.
Yeah, we were all wrong. Hey, at least Tulane didn't humiliate us by going over and getting dominated by ULM. So we still look like we're the best in North Louisiana right now.
For now.
For now, there's still time.
Thanks, Rafe. Appreciate it as always. So he said 28-17?
28-17. 28-17 in favor of Louisiana Tech.
I'm thinking somewhere I'll go first this week. I don't think I've ever gone first.
No, you don't, because winners don't go first, and you get it right more so than I do.
Well, I'm winner.
I'm
up by two games, and I'm going to go first.
Go ahead.
To show you how winners do it.
Humility. He's showing some humility, folks. Sort of.
I'm going to go 31.
Ooh.
31-24.
Joe Dirt.
Dirty.
27-24, UTEP.
Ooh.
See, you have to go with UTEP since Ford went first and he took Tech because you're behind. So, oh gosh. I'm going to do the same. I'm going.
Y'all think with your heart, not your head.
No, I'm going UTEP.
I know you're thinking with you're going with your head, not your heart, not your head.
Well,
on paper, this should be a W for Tech.
It should be, but so should have Army. Army should have been a W on Army was a W on paper, and on the field it was not. On the field it was a blowout. Therefore,
how do you really feel, Jared?
I'm going to take UTEP, the UTEP Miners under first year head coach Sean Coogler. By a score of
the most interesting man at Conference USA.
By a score of 24-14.
24-14, Jared says.
UTEP.
So both Joe Dirt and
I hope and pray that I'm wrong.
Joe Dirt and Jared King have an opportunity to make up one game this week. Or I can have the opportunity to go up three.
Yeah. That's the downside. That's the downside to taking the other pick. Maybe I should have went with it a week more, that I was a little bit more confident. I don't know. I mean, I really hope and see where this should be a Louisiana Tech W. The defense should be able to get pressure on Showers, who can escape the pocket and probably will escape the pocket and will probably be forced to throw on the run. I hope that the corners can cover long enough. Those busted plays and stuff, a wide receiver, slips out, gets open, and next thing you know, if the quarterback can make a throw to him out on the run, it could go for six. You just never know when you have a mobile quarterback like that. But UTEP has not been able to protect him so far this year. He's already been sacked 8 times, so, which is only 2 a game.
And could Tech get – if Tech can get the first interception of his – or second interception of his season.
Wouldn't that be something?
Especially if they can create a short field for the offense and they can capitalize on it.
Yeah. And I hope that we see – that we continue to see Tevin King returning kickoffs, and maybe he'll get a couple of chances to bring some out because he set him up in good field position. He really did.
Well, for Joe Dirt, Jared King – I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We'll be back same time next week right here on ESPN Radio 97.7. Be sure to check out the podcast on iTunes or BleedTechBlue.com later tonight. That's all, folks. Yeah.
been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio with Jonathan Ford, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. Listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on ESPN 97.3.